It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. You can give us a call or you can send us your messages on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Obviously been a very busy week in free agency, not just for the New York Giants, but the National Football League. As expected, a lot of teams with a lot of salary cap space have made a ton of moves, and the NFL, as it does every year, is going to look a lot different in 2013 than it did in 2012. From Mike Wallace going to the Dolphins, Wes Welker trading Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Tom Brady for Peyton Manning, Percy Harvin with the Seahawks. The Seahawks also bring in Cliff Avril, the former defensive end from the Detroit Lions. And just a lot going on. Reggie Bush going to the Detroit Lions to make that offense even more explosive. Apparently, the only thing they need to score in Detroit, not necessarily get any stops. Kenny Phillips yesterday signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know Giant fans aren't exactly thrilled about that. But again, remember, folks, Kenny Phillips is dealing with very serious knee problems, and the Eagles committed to him for a year. It's kind of a wait-and-see type of contract, and I'm sure they'll use Kenny Phillips to try to scout the Giants a little bit as well. Not a huge loss. The Giants have plenty of depth at safety. They love Will Hill, the young man that they picked up last year as still technically, I guess, an undrafted free agent, even though he was out of football for a year before that. You have Chase Blackburn, according to reports, talking to the Dallas Cowboys. He could provide them as much inside information on the Giants and their defense as he can effectiveness on the field. Again, he's up there in age. He's a very good player. But I think the intelligence he can provide the Cowboys and the Giants would be absolutely invaluable. Dominic Hixon has not been brought back yet. There are rumors going around that the Detroit Lions might be interested in him. But, again, once they sign Reggie Bush, we'll see. Since Bush has done some, you know, kick and punt returning in the past, he's the number one running back. Not sure he's going to do that. So Hixon probably still in the mix for the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, a very busy week for the Giants, for people around the football Giants. The Philadelphia Eagles brought in Kerry Williams as well from the Baltimore Ravens. That'll affect the division. The Cowboys and Redskins, with their very limited cap space, have both been very quiet so far since free agency began. And look, the Giants have done what I think everyone expected them to do. They brought in a veteran, Colin Jenkins, at a very low cap hit for this year to replace Chris Canty. They bring back Aaron Ross to provide some depth at cornerback, something they've really, really needed, considering only Corey Webster, Prince Amukamara, Jaron Hosley, and then an often injured Terrell Thomas are their only cornerbacks on the roster. They bring back Keith Rivers to provide depth at linebacker. Again, they don't have many starting linebackers on this roster either, besides Jaquan Williams, who has very limited experience as a starter but played a lot of snaps in his first 2 years in the NFL. They bring in a new kicker, Josh Brown, to compete with David Buehler and compete with Lawrence Tynes for that number one kicker spot in the offseason. So the Giants have made a lot of low-cost moves to try to reinforce their team for 2013. Now there is still work to do. There's work to do on the offensive line. Will Kevin Booth be back? Or will they bring in a right tackle and then maybe use Brewer at guard? The Giants still need to add at least one offensive lineman, in my opinion, guard or tackle, in this offseason. They still need to improve at linebacker. Maybe that's going to happen through the draft and not necessarily in free agency. That'll be a wait-and-see type of proposition. The Giants also need to decide what they want to do with tight end, with Martellus Bennett going to the Chicago Bears. Do they trust the combination of Larry Donald, Adrian Robinson, and Bear Pascoe? They know what Bear can do. They love Adrian Robinson's promise. They liked what Larry Donald did on the practice squad last year. Will that be enough? Or will they bring in a veteran? My guess is they'll try to find a low-cost veteran out there to supplement those three guys. Besides, you really need about four tight ends come training camp with the beating these guys take. So I think you'll see another tight end come in here that's a veteran. And who knows? Maybe the Giants will draft somebody too. That's a possibility. But I would not suggest or expect a first-round tight end selection like we've seen in some of those mock drafts. So that's the summary. The Giants still have work to do. They've gotten some stuff done. If you want to see interviews with Cullen Jenkins, Aaron Ross, Josh Brown, go to Giants.com, go to the Media Vault, go to interviews. They're there. And we already talked to Keith Rivers this morning. Expect that to be up on Giants.com later on in the day. So the Giants busy, the NFL even busier in this first week of free agency 2013. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number to give us a call and talk everything Giants and NFL right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. All the lines are full, so if you're getting a busy signal, try back after you go through a couple calls. We'll get you on hold. We'll get you on the air. And then, of course, you can reach us on Twitter at #GiantsChat. Let's lead off with our good pal, who apparently is back from vacation, Len in Maryland. Len, what's up?
Well, I'm back. You're right. The sun is shining here in Columbia, Maryland, but it's not as nice as it was in Florida.
I would not think so.
Listen, let me start off with a bit of trivia in the Aaron Ross signing. I think we're probably, amazing. I think we're probably going to get a comp pick for Ross. It's probably not going to be anything dramatic, a 6 or a 7. But then we get the player back, too. When in NFL history has that happened? Do you get a comp pick and the same player back? I think that's pretty cool. Good move by Jerry.
Yeah, it's funny. If you watch Aaron Ross's interview on the website, I asked him why he came back to the Giants, and Aaron Ross actually said in his first answer in the interview that when I left the Giants and I signed that 3-year contract with the Jaguars, he talked to Jerry Reese and said to him, Jerry, in 3 years when this contract is up, I'm going to want to come home and go back to the Giants. And it happened a lot sooner than he thought it would. Obviously, it didn't work out there in Jacksonville. He had a bit of a down year. They've obviously changed coaches and changed management and all that stuff down there. So he was part of that cleansing process, but he's back with the Giants. And look, he isn't a star. He's not a Pro Bowler. He's not an all-team NFL, but he'll provide valuable depth. He knows the system, and he'll be a useful player.
Listen, you're talking about the fourth corner. There aren't going to be many teams that are going to have a fourth corner better than Aaron Ross.
That was a first-round pick, no question.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's a solid player. He knows the system, and he's right in that range. I like a team that's loaded with 4 to 8s. By that, I mean 4-year to 8-year veterans.
Right.
You always need, you need the new guys coming in, working their way up, and you need some veterans like Eli and so forth who are 10 and 11-year veterans, but I always thought the core of your team has got to be 4 to 8, so I like that signing, and I like the fact that we're getting the player and the comp pick. That's pretty cool. At least I think we'll get a comp pick. The other signings, and you went through them all, John, I think they're solid signings. Nothing dramatic, but you need veteran depth, and, you need some physicality on defense. And, the safety we signed from Pittsburgh has got that kind of reputation, Mundy.
I forgot about him, actually. Ryan Mundy, another signing the Giants made, a safety who primarily played special teams for the Steelers, and I'm sure special teams will be his primary role here with the likes of Will Hill, Roll, and Stevie Brown out there.
He's it's a hedge if the change with Terrell Thomas doesn't work out.
Right.
And again, you're talking about the fourth safety, but he's got a physical side to him. Anytime you can get somebody from Pittsburgh who's a veteran, They're going to come with an attitude. The Steelers, like the Ravens, seem to have that, physicality to them no matter what. And that's why I always hate to play those two teams, especially in the preseason, because you always seem to get roughed up. I like that. I like that. And I think that's a good signing too. And the same with Jenkins. Jenkins brings a physical side to him that I think is going to be good. He's got a little bit of an attitude and. I think we need a little bit. I'm tired of getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage. I think Jenkins will push back. Of course, we're all waiting with bated breath on Victor and to see what's happened there. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm thinking positive, but I want to, like a lot of people, I want to see these guys get back and you know, a big thank you to Phillips. I mean, he did a good job. A one-year contract, John. Can you believe that?
I can. Look, Len, he can't stay on the field. No one's going to give a guy like Keith Rivers that big of a contract in that many years when for the past 3 years of his career he's played like less than a handful of games.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Kenny. Phillips. Are we in the same paragraph? Same thing with Rivers.
Right.
No, I'm glad about the Rivers signing. 1 year was right with Rivers. And, you know, we gave up a draft choice, a fifth-round draft choice. I mean, you got to get a second year out of this guy. And
right.
So I think he can do something. But I was speaking more to Phillips.
I got you. My mistake.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's okay. I throw a lot of information out there. It's not unusual for people to stay in the previous paragraph
than
the one that I'm talking about. But, you know, thank you to Kenny. But, you know, same situation. But I was surprised that it was only, 1 year. And I'm wondering, you know, what the Giants, would they throw an extra $500,000 on or something? So he'd sign it. The Giants must have offered, you know, a vet's minimum, if they even offered anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Giants are very strapped for cash right now, Len, in terms of the salary cap. And like I said, the work they still have to do on the offensive line, I think that's a bigger part, bigger position of need than safety right now.
Yeah. You know, if Carr goes and we stay with the guy we picked up from Indianapolis, Painter, I hope not. I'm not sure he's NFL caliber. But, you can save $600,000 there. I mean, you know, I understand. There are $100,000 here, $700,000 there. Before you know it, you're talking about big money, John.
No question, Len.
Yeah. So, you know, good. Let's get Victor. Let's get Booth. Let's add more physicality. I'm not giving up on that defensive tackle position in the draft. You know who my favorite guy is. I don't have to tell you anything about Sylvester Williams.
I do not.
I think this is the guy for us. Hopefully he falls to us. I think he will. I think he's going to be right there, John. Hey, listen, thanks for all the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Len. Anytime.
Have a good weekend. We'll talk next week, and let's get Victor under contract.
Sounds good, my friend. That's Len Amaro and our good buddy. Does a great job on the phones. 201-939-4513. Let's say hello to Chris in New Jersey. Chris, good morning. Chris, you there, pal? We're going to go back to Chris, see if he picks up later. But for now, let's go. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I punched up the wrong guy. This is Chris in New Jersey. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, John. Thanks. Yeah, I thought it was my phone.
No worries. What's going on?
Hey, man. All right. Hey, John, let me ask you. With the current situation, what do you think is the biggest issue right now? Do you think it's tackle, linebacker, I think those two, tackle and linebacker. What do you think is the biggest concern right now?
I'm going to go with offensive line in general, and here's why. If you bring in a right tackle, you could play Brewer or Deal or try to have him work out at guard. If you bring in a guard, or bring back Booth, then you have Brewer and Deal compete at right tackle. So I think right now, even more so than tight end, offensive line is probably your biggest need, and then you have linebacker two, and then you have tight end at number three.
That's how I would order it. Tight end.
Right.
Yep. And John, with Aaron Ross, now that he's coming back, he may be in the mix for like that fourth corner on the depth chart. Do you see him maybe returning some punts and kicks more so than he had the first time around because he was a little bit further up on the depth chart back then?
I think he'll be in the mix, probably not on kickoffs, maybe on punts. But remember, Aaron Ross, despite the fact he's only been in the league, I believe this is his seventh season, he's actually 30 years old because he didn't start in the NFL until he was like 24 years old. You generally don't see a lot of 30-year-old punt returners. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think there's a better chance you'll see J'Ron Hosley return punts this year than Aaron Ross. I think the Giants really like him as a dynamic punt returner if he can stay healthy. And frankly, catch the ball, which is something he had trouble doing in the preseason last year.
Right. And, John, a low-cost tight end that might be out there, you know, I know with a couple of these former Giants coming back, I know he was hurt last year. I'm not even sure if he even played last year. But Vasante Shanko, when he was with the Vikings a couple of years ago, had a couple decent years over there. What's his status? Any idea?
You know what? Vasante did play last year. He was not as effective as he was in years past. For the Vikings. Last year he was on the Patriots. He got picked up by them midseason to try to help out once Gronkowski went down. He only played in four games, didn't catch a pass. I'm pretty sure he's a free agent at this point. I don't think the Patriots brought him back. So the Giants could think about that. But remember, he's 32 years old. I think the Giants would like to get a little bit younger there.
Yeah, agreed. All right, John, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Chris. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Zach in Connecticut. Zach, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing well, Zach. What's up?
Nothing. I was just, I'm not too worried about the Kenny Phillips move because, you know, first off, he's always injured.
Yep.
And second off, I think Will Hill is going to step up and be a beast. He's a sure tackler, and he's pretty fast, and he's got good hands, good pursuit.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, have overreacted and are freaking out about this Kenny Phillips thing. And I think the reason they're doing it is because whenever the Eagles take anybody, or the Cowboys or the Redskins, take anybody away from the Giants, Giant fans just start panicking that they're losing guys to a division rival. But you're right. Kenny Phillips simply has not been able to consistently step on the field. Now, if you tell me that Kenny Phillips is going to be healthy for the next 3 years, play 45 games in those three seasons, and he's going to be 100%, is it a bad loss? Yes, it is. But the odds of that happening are very, very slim, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then the loss of Martellus Bennett, I don't think that's a huge loss either, because we get these random tight ends, put them in, and then the next year everybody wants them off our team. I think we just are good at – our system is good at plugging in tight ends.
I agree.
Pretty much anybody on that one.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think the Giants will find a veteran out there in free agency. They'll try to work in their young guys, Adrian Robinson and Larry Donald, off the practice squad. And look, Bear Pasco is going to give you exactly what you need him to give you. He's going to be reliable. He's going to block well. He's going to catch the balls that are thrown to him. He knows the system, and he'll be fine. But I think you do try to bring in a veteran to compete. And who knows, maybe in the middle of the draft you try to bring in a tight end that can contribute this year as well.
And I heard on the radio this morning they brought in some wide receiver, I want to say Lewis or something, from Carolina, maybe?
I have not seen anybody in the building today, so I cannot speak to that.
No? Sounds good. I figured maybe you had some inside information you could give us.
Even if I had it, I probably wouldn't be able to give it.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
All right, appreciate it, Zach. 201-939-4513. Yeah, guys, we can do a lot here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I can give opinions. I can kind of give you, you know, inside stuff that I talk to the guys in the locker room on the side. One thing I can't do, if the Giants are unofficially bringing guys in for visits or you know, even having rookies here, guys here on their pro days, and, you know, free agents, and the Giants don't officially announce these guys are showing up, it's the one thing I can't talk about. So I can give you my opinion on the players. I'll reference reports that talk about this stuff, but I cannot confirm or deny officially anything the Giants are doing that they're not announcing themselves. That's just part of the deal. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, good morning.
Hello? Am I on?
You're on, Mike. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing? I got a few problems. First of all, like with Len calling in from Maryland.
I hope I can help.
About,
what's up?
Excuse me?
I said you have some problems. I said I hope I can help. What's going on?
Yeah, I hope you can help. But I got a problem with Len. He's talking about Kenny Phillips. I mean, Kenny Phillips, I was the biggest supporter of Kenny Phillips when he came out of college. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
He's a very explosive dude. And I like the way he tackles, physical guy from the U, but you can't stay healthy. And then now we want to get all sad because, you know, he's gone. All right, so let's get past that. Martellus Bennett, and I mean, come on. Martellus Bennett gave us 4 or 5 great games to start off with, and then he showed that he really doesn't have the mental concentration to carry that type of production throughout the whole season. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. And then the last caller just calling from Connecticut saying Giants could plug anyone in that tight end. It's not that simple. I mean, like, it doesn't work like that we could just find some 6'5", 240-pound dude who can block and just throw him in there and he can, you know, catch the balls up the middle. Like, it really does not work like that. You have to find the right guy. And my suggestion – go ahead.
No, I was saying, but in fairness to the Giants, you know, Kevin Boss was a late-round draft pick. No one expected him to contribute the way they wanted to. And no one on this green earth knew who the heck Jake Ballard was when they brought him in. And he ended up – playing a pretty darn big role in that Super Bowl year. So you're right. Is it easy? Can you just say, all right, look, we'll pick up some guy off the scrap heap. He'll catch 45 balls. He'll block well in the running game. Nah, it's not that easy. But I think I think considering the past, though, you have to give some credit and leeway to Mike Pope, the Giants tight end coach, and this organization to find a low-cost tight end that can fit this system and give them the production that they need.
Absolutely. Basically, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt based on the recent track record.
Right.
So I agree with that. All right, that's true. Okay, we could do that. But on another note, as far as, like, Aaron Ross, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, I heard someone mention that he's going to be maybe our fourth corner. With the recent, like, injuries we've been having over the past few years in the secondaries, Aaron Ross is going to end up being a key player in this defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are going to start dropping. We're going to depend on Aaron Ross very early in the season.
No, you're right. And look, that's why you bring him in, because right now the Giants don't have a lot of depth, Mike, in their secondary. I mean, before they brought back Ross, all they had at corner was Corey Webster, who's coming off perhaps the worst season of his career.
Overrated.
You have Prince Amukamara, who's had hamstring and injury problems in the past, but he actually did have a pretty good second year in the NFL, and the Giants think he can take another step this year. Then you have Jaron Hosley, who's a second-year guy. He struggled a bit in his rookie year out of the slot, but I think he has potential. And then you have Terrell Thomas, who clearly you can't count on coming off his third knee surgery. So if you can bring in a guy that knows the system, a former first-round pick, is Aaron Ross a superstar? No. Is he...
Workmanlike,
can he get the job done if you need him to? Look, he was your starting cornerback when you won a Super Bowl. So he can't be that bad. In fact, he played cornerback for two Super Bowl teams for the New York Giants. So just as depth as insurance, like you mentioned, corners get hurt all the time. I think at a veteran minimum salary, it's a smart move, and it gives the Giants a lot more depth at cornerback that they did not have at the start of the week.
True. You put it that way, it makes sense. And before I let you go, I just have one last point about
Victor
Cruz.
No problem.
All right, like Victor Cruz, as much as I really, really like him and as much as he's produced for us and he's a great player and everything, I mean, we got to face the facts that if this guy was to leave to go to another team and become the number one receiver elsewhere, he will not put up the type of production and the type of numbers that he is doing in this offense. Like, this offense revolves around Victor Cruz moving around, getting those intermediate passing routes in the middle, Hakeem Nicks getting double coverage, Victor getting lucky, and finding, you know, ways to get the ball to him. If he was to go to, let's say, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and here you are, Vic, you're the man, we're going to throw the ball 150 times to you a year, go ahead and do it. He really will not succeed. I mean, we've seen this before with Steve Smith. These Giants cats who are like, you know, these system guys that we groom, they leave, and then they really cannot duplicate that type of production elsewhere because you belong to this system. And let's face it, you're 6 foot, and that's being generous, maybe 5'11". You're not 6'2", 220-pound Hakeem Nicks type. You know what I'm saying? You can't be that number one guy. So, I mean, I hope he gets his money if he wants it, but I will not lose any sleep over Victor Cruz leaving, as crazy as that sounds.
All right, Mike, appreciate the call, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take it easy. And I'd be careful, though. Great call out of Mike, by the way. A lot of good stuff out of him. But I'd be careful painting Victor Cruz with the same brush that you painted Steve Smith with. Steve Smith, after he left the Giants, had a very serious knee injury. That was the reason he couldn't be successful when he left the Giants. If Steve Smith was 100% healthy and he happened to get away from the Giants, I think he would have been a very effective wide receiver. And I think Victor Cruz will be a very effective wide receiver wherever he goes. As the number one guy with very little help, is he going to catch 110 balls for 1,500 yards and 13 touchdowns? Probably not. He'll be in the 70s or 80s. You know, he'll be around 1,050, 6-7 touchdowns. That's still a darn good wide receiver. Is he a top 5 NFL wide receiver? Maybe not. Is he a top 10, top 12? Probably. And those guys are going to get paid. Would you have Victor Cruz or Mike Wallace? Would you rather have Victor Cruz or Percy Harvin? Again, Percy Harvin might have a higher ceiling with his unbelievable athleticism and his big playability, but Cruz is more consistent, and he stays healthy. 201-939-4513. Steve's down in Virginia. Steve, good morning, pal.
How you doing, John?
Doing well. What's up?
Oh, not much. We chat on Twitter, too, about the Knicks and so forth.
Yeah, very good.
Leave it. That's an ugly thing all in itself.
Oh, boy. You know what? It was just, we're trying to watch that game last night where, like, Raymond Felton's their number one scoring option with J.R. Smith. They just don't have the talent right now to score points. It's rough.
Yeah, no, it's like, I can't even watch anymore.
It's hard.
It's sad, but let's getting back to a more brighter note.
Yes.
looking at their safety depth now, you know, with this kid Monday, and, you know, they're trying to compare him to, you know, Stevie Brown from last year. And it, 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 you know, he may be a diamond in the rough. And look, the Giants are doing what the Giants always do. They're very intelligent. They're meticulous. They're not going to make the big flash, you know. But, you know, looking, you know, they got Will Hill. They got Antrell Roll back there. And you know, maybe Terrell Thomas will, you know, who knows where they're going to put him, and depending on his health. And now they got this kid Monday. They got Tyler Sash. You know, it's safety. They're looking pretty good. Yeah, I hate to lose Kenny Stillips. And to reiterate what you just said, look, you know, if I was a betting man, would I bet Phillips is going to be healthy the next 3 years? No, not no. And I saw a stat somebody put on Twitter yesterday that the Giants are like 26-8 with Phillips and like 500 without him. And is this a coincidence? I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, when they drafted him.
Interesting.
You know, his first. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying that stat is interesting. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. Somebody posted it yesterday, and I don't know how true it is or not. But, you know, I live in South Florida. I'm on business now in Virginia. But, I was expecting a lot more of him coming out of Miami. Over the top, he's real good. He's a hard hitter. But, you know what, at the end of the day, they're not really going to miss him, I don't think, that much. But I saw on Twitter just a few minutes ago something about them looking at Dustin Keller. That would be, I think Keller's agent's just kind of trying to promote him at this point, you know, and saying something. Because I that would be a horrible move, even at a cheap price, to bring in a guy like him.
Yeah, I just don't know if Dustin Keller, frankly, is a good enough line blocker to do what the Giants need to do. As a receiver, Dustin Keller is very talented, and I think he could be a very good weapon for the Giants. Again, if he can stay healthy, he couldn't do that last year for the Jets. But I'm not sure if he's that two-way blocking tight end that the Giants want in their offense.
No, I mean, they have Travis Beckham, and unfortunately that kid's never healthy. And, you know, I think if he, you know, he has a similar speed and stuff, but obviously he hasn't never had the opportunity to put up any numbers like that. But, look, I kind of agree what you said earlier. Offensive line and linebacker, you know, I saw things about Ray Malaluga. I think that'd be a horrible move. You know, I'm sure they brought in Keith Rivers at the vet minimum for a year. That's fine. You know, they need to really shake up the linebacking core. They need to, I would, you know, in the first round, depending on who's there, I would definitely look linebacker or D-line and then maybe look at, you know, one of the tight ends in the second or third round, maybe this kid from San Diego State or Zach Ertz slides down there. Or somebody like that. I think what they're doing with the money that they have, I think they're doing a great job. And everybody like panics, you know, about them. You know, this Victor Cruz thing will settle itself, like you said the other day. Victor Cruz will be a Giant. I feel like 90% sure he'll be ending up signing up a long term deal.
I agree.
You know, so they'll be fine. Everybody freaks out, but They quietly move along, and you know, I have a feeling they'll address their main needs in the draft.
Hey, look, so. Giant fans see Mike Wallace getting these big deals. The Patriots are making moves. The Broncos are making moves. The Seahawks look a lot better than they were. The San Francisco 49ers are improving. And Giant fans look around, they're like, why aren't we doing anything? We're not keeping up. We got to sign somebody. Where's Ed Reed? Where's Dwight Freeney? They start signing all these big names. And that never works. You build from within. You build at youth. You build from the draft. This is what the Giants have always done. This is how they won 2 Super Bowls, and it's how they're going to keep doing business.
No, absolutely. By the way, it's Lewis Murphy was confirmed. And my daughter went to UF. She's a Gator, and I don't – hey, look, you know, they're probably going to lose Barden and Hickson, but – Lewis Murphy is not a kick or punt returner. He's got hands of steel. He's a fast kid, but I would not like that signing. I'm not enamored with that kid at all.
Yeah, I almost feel like Murphy would be almost like an insurance policy to Cruz. He's kind of a slot guy that has good hands, a bit of a possession receiver.
His hands are questionable. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, fair enough. Honestly, honestly, if I told you I watched a lot of Raider football and Lewis Murphy over the last 4 or 5 years, I'd be lying to you.
Yeah.
So I could very well be wrong about that.
Yeah. But we'll see. I think things are unfolding nicely. I'd love to see Kevin Booth in there. Have you heard anything on Deal? Have they restructured him? They have to restructure his contract.
Well, again, the Giants don't officially announce anything in terms of restructured contracts, but I have not seen any reports that would indicate that David Deal's contract has been restructured. I'm sure they'll talk to him about it if they find that they need the money to sign somebody else. But I have not heard anything about that so far.
Yeah, he's been a great Giant. I like the kid. But, you know, let's face reality. At this point, he's not a starter in the NFL. He'd be a solid backup. He could play along the line, but nothing more, much more than league minimum at this point with the money that they need. So
I appreciate the call, Steve.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem. Hey, you too. 201-939-4513. Three callers on the line. Let's do all three to finish off the show and start with Christian out on Long Island. Christian, what's up?
How you doing, boss?
Doing well, man. What's up?
I have to say I'm a longtime Giants fan, tatted in blood and everything.
Nice. That's how we like it here in Big Blue Country.
I have a few questions.
Sure, what
do you
got?
I wanted to know if there was any chance that the Giants would be able to sign a big-name free agent linebacker. I know we're cap-restricted right now.
Who do you want?
Or do you see – say it again.
At linebacker, who do you want out of the big names that are out there?
I mean, I wanted him 2-3 years ago before he signed with the Dolphins, Dansby.
Right.
I mean, I'd love to go younger at the position, not older, but I feel like he is an impact linebacker. He may not be as expensive as everybody else. But, you know, I would also love, I think his name is James Anderson. I mean, you know, anybody who's at least getting 100 tackles a year, I would more than welcome to the Giants.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they'll go after a guy like Dansby unless he sits out there in free agency and he's a really low-cost option the way, say, Keith Bullock was 3 or 4 years ago when the Giants brought him in off that knee surgery. If they can get him under that type of deal, I'd be okay with it. Other guys that are out there, Ray Maliuga, I think would be a decent guy to look at to bring in. He's had success with the Bengals. He's only 26 years old, which I like a lot. Obviously, the rumors and reports are out there that Jasper Brinkley was in talk to the Giants. Again, he's a younger guy. He's, I think, only 27. I like bringing in those young veterans, and I think Len made the point as the first caller, between like 24 and 29 years old. That's when a football player is in his prime, and if you can bring in guys in that age range, I think that's where you help the team the most.
I definitely could agree there, because you don't want somebody on the edge of their career.
Yeah.
Going out the door. Another question I had is, if the Rams use their first-round pick to pick up Cruz off tenders, do we receive the original pick or the second one that was traded to them?
You know what? It's funny. I was going to look that rule up. I believe a team has to give up their own first-round pick, not the first-round pick that they acquired. Now, I haven't looked it up. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm about 95% sure that they would have to surrender their own first-round pick, not the extra one that they got.
Okay. Cruz is my favorite, like my Giants' favorite receiver, and I'm also part Puerto Rican. I would be destroyed if he left. But that being said, if we did get the extra first-round pick, will we target a guy like Tavon Austin with the extra pick to replace the slot position, or will we attack a more dire need like offensive lineman or maybe linebacker?
You know, that's a good question. I think the Giants will be very comfortable with their outside receivers, with Randall and Nix. I think they'll be happy with those two guys. But you're right. They would have to figure out something in the slot. I think they give Jarrell Jernigan a chance to win that job. Of course, he hasn't done a whole lot in his couple years so far with the Giants, but he's still on the roster. I think they'd like to give him an opportunity to win that job. But I think there's a decent chance they'll go somewhere in the draft at wide receiver. I'm not sure they'd use a first-round pick on it, to be honest with you, just because I don't know if they want to commit another high draft pick to wide receiver. I think linebacker and offensive line are probably, and even defensive line, are more likely first-round targets than wide receiver, even if Victor Cruz does get away.
Do you see the Cullen Jenkins pickup as maybe we don't go with the defensive tackle in the first three rounds, maybe attack it later in the draft?
I think it gives the Giants a little bit of a safety net there. I think defensive tackle will still be an area of need, only because Jenkins is around 32 years old. He's on the older side. Marcus Coon's coming off that knee injury. Who knows how good he's going to be this year. And then Marvin Austin's basically giving you nothing as a second-round pick. So I wouldn't take defensive tackle or defensive line off the table, but I think Cullen Jenkins does give them a little bit of flexibility in waiting for the perfect guy so you don't have to reach for anybody.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Appreciate it.
And if I could ask one last question.
Sure, Christian. What's up?
Another as popular and a hometown hero as Cruz is, why would he try and leave all the extra money he could stand to make in advertisements in New York? He may not get the exact contract he wants with the Giants, but he could definitely make a lot more in the commercial market of New York than anywhere else. in America.
I think he's trying to get the best of both worlds. I think he's trying to get his big contract and stay in New York at the same time. Because right now the Giants have all the leverage. He's a tender player. If he can't find another team to sign him, he's going to come back to the Giants next year and play for $2.9 million. So what Victor Cruz hopes happens is that another team out there says, all right, Victor, we'll give you $11 million a year. Victor goes to the Giants and say, look, guys, we have an $11 million a year offer on the table. That's great. I haven't even signed it yet. But here's the deal. I can get $11 million from these guys tomorrow. If you guys improve your offer from 9 per year to 10 per year and give me a little bit more guaranteed money, he hopes he can use that leverage to get the Giants to come closer to his contract position and stay here. Remember, he has to sign a contract to leave, and the Giants will then have a chance to match that contract. So I think Victor Cruz is trying to use his restricted free agency to get the Giants to pay him more money, not necessarily leave to go find another team. You know what I mean?
Yes. Do you see this getting cleared up anytime soon, or this is going to drag on for a while?
Well, here's the thing. Teams will start using up all their cap space, so it's going to take a while for Victor Cruz to make the decision that, all right, I'm coming to the conclusion that another team is not going to offer me money as a restricted free agent. Once he determines that, then it's up to Victor Cruz. Do I take the long-term deal now for maybe a little less total money and stay a Giant for 5 or 6 years? Or do I play under the tender, which is $2.9 million, and then go into next season and try to earn a bigger free agent contract next year, maybe get a Mike Wallace-sized deal? Now, the danger here for Victor, if he goes in that direction, is if he plays this year, he has a Steve Smith-style injury, then all of a sudden, he's not getting any sort of big contract in 2014. Yeah. So if I'm Victor and I see that no other team's going to give me money as a restricted free agent, I jump on the Giants' offer and I would sign that tomorrow.
Yeah, I just thought, I mean, if we're going to lose him, I'd rather at least get a pick back for him and not just lose him in free agency next year.
Fair point. Thanks a lot, Christian.
Thanks a lot.
You have a good one. No problem. 201-939-4513. Right, now we're going to take our final three calls of the show. We're going to squeeze one more in. You guys doing a great job on the phones. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's up?
Not much. Listen, I'm going to keep it very positive on this wonderful Friday. You know, I know everybody's kind of in shock. I am, too, that, you know, Kenny Phillips has departed. And, of course, you know, is it true that Chase Blackburn is definitely going to Dallas, or is that just kind of rumored right now?
That is just a rumor. Nothing's done. And the Cowboys actually probably have less cap room than any other team in the league. I think their cap space literally stands at about $200,000. So they don't exactly have a lot of money to throw around at this point.
Yeah, I think it's 177 to be exact. But listen, the worst thing about losing Kenny Phillips is obviously we know what his injuries. We really didn't know what was going to happen with him this year anyway. But losing him to the rivals is probably the worst part about this situation.
Right.
But, you know, on a positive note, I'm really glad to see Aaron Ross back. You know, I know he's not the absolute best corner out there, but he's like you said, he knows the system, and he's still a very solid defensive back. And the thing that impressed me most about Aaron Ross is his leadership. I really don't think he can kind of, really gauge how much he brings to the team. You know, one thing I noticed yesterday in his interview was him talking about, getting back to studying film, and he just seems to have a really magnetic personality and
he's
pretty mature for his age. You know, I know he's 30, which is kind of old for a defensive back, I guess, in the league, but, I just think that his personality, will really kind of rally the troops, per se, and really get him back, back focused and everybody being the best. And my surprise thing this year, though, I think Prince is going to surprise everybody and really be that number one pick that we really anticipated him to be when we drafted him. So I really expect big things from him, and I'm really, pretty much comfortable with Jerry Reese and the Giants are going about their business. I know it's not as flashy as some people like to be, but I think we're running the straight course. So, I'm looking forward to it, guys, and I thank you for taking my call as always.
No problem. So,
you guys have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
You too, Steve. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ethan in Indiana. Ethan, good morning.
How's it going, John?
What's up, E?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to talk about I don't get me wrong. I completely appreciate everything Victor Cruz has done for the team. I mean, you know, the Super Bowl, you know, I wouldn't say he was the only reason, but he was definitely a big help to get there. But I feel like I might be one of the few Giant fans that actually think him going to another team might actually be helpful for our team. And I just think that because if Victor Cruz does sign a contract with another team and we get that first-round pick and that clears up that cap space, then that will help specifically with our number one problem we had last year, and that was our defense. And then plus, I also thought, you know, with the second or a number two pick in the first round, maybe we could pick up Tyler Eifert or Zach Ertz, you know, just to help fill that spot. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of mock drafts that have either Ertz or Eifert going to the Giants. I just honestly don't see them using a first-round pick on a tight end, especially on one of those two guys. And both, excuse me, are considered receiving tight ends and aren't great blockers. And if there's one thing you need to know about a Giants tight end, is that they require him to block. They need him in the running game. They need him in pass protection. And the receiving skills are just an added bonus. And I don't see them using a first-round pick on a tight end that they need to that can't block and they're going to need to block. So I think a offensive lineman or a front seven defender is probably the most likely target for the Giants in the first round.
And I completely understand that and agree with that. I just, you know, with that extra cap space that we could clear up, not having to sign Victor Cruz to a long-term deal or anything, then maybe we could use that money also on, you know, an experienced linebacker or another veteran cornerback. I really am not as worried about the cornerbacks now that we brought back Aaron Ross, because I felt like as much as he's been, I don't want to say frowned upon in the last couple of years, I actually think he's done a great job. So I really am not as worried about the cornerbacks. But I really think that little extra money could definitely go towards helping the defense. So I don't know. I feel like maybe we might, if the Giants re-sign Victor Cruz, I don't want to see something happen like with the Ravens, where they spent all this money on Joe Flacco. Not that Victor Cruz is going to get a Joe Flacco contract or anything like that, but now you're starting to see all these players leave the team. And I know we've also got to look towards the re-signing Hakeem Nicks too.
Yeah, you're right. And I think you're seeing more top-tier players leave teams because the salary cap simply hasn't gone up a lot in the last few years since that collectively bargained agreement between the players and owners came in a couple years ago. You simply haven't seen the cap move a whole lot. Now, it might move a lot in a couple years when the new TV contract gets put into effect, but you're right, you're seeing a lot more player move, and I think people are realizing, or at least the smart teams are realizing, that you can't invest a lot of money in multiple players. You just simply can't fill out your roster with enough good players if you dedicate so much money to just two or three guys.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like if Victor Cruz did leave, I really do trust Eli Manning to be able to fill that spot. He really has done a great job at developing receivers.
No, he has. Eli Manning is a good quarterback to have. And one thing, I don't know if fans know about this, but what Eli does every Friday, he takes all the tight ends and wide receivers into the quarterback's meeting room, and they sit in there for an hour after practice every Friday, looking at opposing film, figuring out what they're going to do, getting their own specific game plan ready. And he really coaches these guys up almost like a position coach, and he gets them ready for the game. And that's something Eli Manning is certainly great at.
All right, well, thanks, John, for the thoughts.
Anytime, Ethan. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. This guy loves to close out the show, so I'll let him do it again today, and that's Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's up?
Good morning, Johnny. I'll make it quick.
Sure.
Hey, in regards to, I want to keep going about Cruz a little bit, but I think
And you said 85 to 90% chance of getting signed. A couple of callers over the past couple of weeks have said, hey, man, just be cool. You know, we're going to sign him and this in that regard. But I think you need to be a little skeptical. Look at the – and I'm not comparing Cruz to Welker or Anton Bolden, but both situations. Welker in the past 6 years, out of five of those years, caught passes over 110 receptions. Anton Bolden last year accounted for 60% of Flacco's passes. If teams are willing to let guys like that go, and you said earlier, Johnny, you said we don't know what's in Victor Cruz's head, and you know more than we do, I think you need to be a little nervous. If teams and Robert Kraft, just like president of the Giants, have said, you know, we want to keep Victor. Don't you think Baltimore and New England owners both said that too about those players? We want to keep them. But you just never know what's going to happen. I think you can't be 85 or 90% certain. Like I said, you know more than we do. But I think there needs to be some skepticism. And that's why Giants fans are a little scared. I think that's why they're kind of talking about, let's go get the big names and things to that effect. So I just want to see what you thought.
Hey, look, I understand why Giant fans would be worried. And I'd be nervous, too, if I was sitting there and Victor Cruz isn't locked up long term. But here's the difference. Victor Cruz is a restricted free agent. He is under contract with the Giants for next year on that first-round tender of $2.9 million. I don't believe Victor Cruz is the type of guy that's going to hold out if he has to play under that tender. So even if him and the Giants don't work out a long-term contract, he's still playing here next year under that tender. So that's why I don't think it's as worrisome as some Giant fans believe. And if another team does decide to sign him, the Giants still have the right to match. So if they want him here, he will be here. No team can, you know, sneak in the dark of night, offer him a contract like the Eagles did with Steve Smith, and get him out of here. That's not going to happen. So I think there's a couple provisions in there with this contract situation being a restricted free agent that give the Giants a lot of protection and prevents Victor from really leaving on the drop of a dime.
All right. I was just throwing out there. I was just saying, you know, I mean, like Wes Welker, I mean, that's Tom Brady's best friend. And that situation fell through. And I guess that's all I'm saying. I understand Cruz can't sneak out. But I'm just saying we still need to keep in the back of our head that anything can happen. And I think the Welker situation kind of proved that. I'm just talking out loud, that's all.
No, Dave, I hear you. And I understand your concern. And I was surprised that the Patriots let Welker go at that money. I figured at $5-6 million a year just for 2 years, I thought that would be a no-brainer for New England to bring him back. I was surprised by it.
Well, they offered him 2-year $10 million, and he leaves an awesome situation for 2-year $12 million. I mean, I understand $2 million is a lot of money, but you know, the fact that he didn't take into consideration him and Brady are buddies, he knows the system, all that stuff, that anything can happen, and that's all I'm saying. And then, lastly, what's the team doing for St. Patrick's Day, you think?
No, that's a good question. I don't know what Paul is doing for St. Patrick's Day. Now, I will say this. I'm pretty sure DeTino will refuse to wear green because of the Jets. So I don't believe he'll be wearing any green on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, no, he probably doesn't even care, right? No green beer, no green beads.
Yeah, actually,
won't even go to the parade.
Paul DeTino, not a big beer guy. So I really don't think St. Patrick's Day is a Paul DeTino holiday.
He's not slamming down shots of whiskey.
No, he is not. Though, I don't know. I mean, look, you hear Paul when he's sober. I mean, I don't even want to imagine.
Yeah, his wife would kill him.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Dave.
All right, bro. See you.
Good stuff, man. Dave in Rochester. Oh, man. That's a good way to end the week. DeTino on St. Patrick's Day. Good times. Next week we'll be back on Monday. I'll be with you Monday through Wednesday right here on Giants.com. Then I'm off Thursday and Friday. I always take the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament off every year. Get to sit home, watch some college basketball for a couple days, which is a lot of fun. So we are going to have the show. We're going to have some replacement hosts. I think I'm going to try to get Lance to come in one day. He might have another gig on Friday. If that's the case, I'll have DeTino come in on Friday, and he'll handle the show on Friday. So either way, we're going to have two hosts coming next week, handle Thursday and Friday. I'll be with you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday right here on Giants.com. Everybody, excellent work. Thank you for joining us all week long with the free agency stuff. The phone calls have been off the hook. pun intended. You've done an excellent job. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning right here on Giants.com. And I should point out, by the way, that on Monday we're launching our special New York Giants Bracket Challenge, where you're going to have a chance to vote on which Giants draft class you think is the best in franchise history. We've arranged them in a bracket NCAA-style format. I did most of the seeding. I had some help from Bob Papa, some help from Michael Eisen, some help from some other people around the organization, and we've ranked the draft classes. And you're going to have a chance each week for the next 3 weeks plus to vote who's going to win these individual matchups and who will eventually get to the finals. A lot of good draft classes from the 80s and 2000s. They really dominate the draft classes, and no surprise, when do the Giants win their Super Bowls? In the 2000s and in the 80s. So drafting well certainly helps you win Super Bowls. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Big Blue Kickoff Live.